Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So now we're on volume 2, 714-99. How is it, Lord, that you have permitted the coming of the confessor? Everything could have passed between me and you in one instant, and I found myself outside of myself lying on a cross, but there was no one who would nail me to it. And I began to pray the Lord to come to crucify me himself. Now, this is something that's very important. Jesus tells Louisa, I crucify you every day. Now, this is what Louisa went through. She had the invisible stigmata. Father Bucci says that on occasion Aunt Rosaria would get to the house and there would be blood all over the bed, blood all over the floor, and Aunt Rosaria would run to the cupboard, bring some towels in to soak up all the blood, and they would see Louisa was just free of that. But Louisa was crucified every day. This is one of the things you have to understand. She said to Jesus in one part, she says, I will die a crucifixion for every soul. So what we know is that she had a great love for Jesus, a great love for Mary, and a great love for us. And this is what she went through. And Jesus said to her, see how necessary it is for the priest to be in the middle of my works. And this is just help to complete the crucifixion. Now, people who know me know that, you know, when you're around me, you're going to be crucified in one way or another, just so that you know. Indeed, without anybody else, you cannot crucify yourself by yourself. It always takes the help of others. So what you have to understand is what we're going through physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, especially usually our spouse, is crucifixion. And what happens is we become like Mary at the foot of the cross, silent. And I've seen this happen with a number of people, married couples. Their spouse doesn't believe what the other spouse believes, doesn't care what the other spouse is doing, and basically abandonment, persecution, ridicule. And this is necessary because this is what Jesus went through. Jesus was misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, persecuted, laughed at, you know, ignored. And Jesus wants us to go through that. Jesus wants us to experience it. If you look at the vestments of a priest, especially the Latin Rite vestments, there's a pillar in the front and there's a cross on the back of almost all the vestments. And because the priest has to be scourged, usually by the laity, and crucified, usually by the laity. And this is the thing, sometimes by the priest, sometimes by other priests, sometimes by the bishops. It's part of what Jesus wants for us. And if we are complaining and ridiculing and angry because of what we have to go through, what happens at that point is we are not like the Blessed Mother silent at the foot of the cross. Again, Jesus says, you need help to complete the crucifixion. Without anybody else, you cannot crucify yourself by yourself. It always takes the help of others. So again, we have to look at our lives in a different manner. Instead of being angry, I mean, a lot of people when they're, you know, driving and somebody pulls in front of you, you start screaming and swearing. I got a truck driver to do that to me today. It's to say fiat, Lord Jesus, fiat. Our job is to be like Christ. Our job is to be like Mary. And Christ was crucified, and Christ was silent. Our Lady was silent. And this is necessary. We have to become more and more like Jesus and Mary. Again, it's extremely necessary that that happens. Volume 2, 9199. Now, while Blessed Jesus was with Father the priest, I said to him, If you really are Jesus, kiss the hand of the confessor. And in my mind, I thought that if he was the Lord, he would accept the humiliation kissing the priest's hand, while if he was a demon, he wouldn't. And Jesus kissed it, though not to the man, but to his priestly authority. In this way, Jesus kissed the hand of the priest. The bishop, you know, you kiss his ring. The pope, you kiss his ring. It's not to the man, it's to the authority of the church, to the office. Again, it's... remember, I think it was Saint Francis said that if it was an angel standing before him or a fallen priest, he would kiss the hand of the fallen priest rather than the angel, because it represents Jesus, even though if the priest is in sin. And never worry about receiving the sacraments. The church takes the place of the priest. See, the Protestants have to, you have to have the entertainer. You have to have the man, you know. When I was in school, I spent most of my time in the art department. And next to the art department was the theater department. And everybody's flowing their robes and, you know, being very theatrical. And then when I was in the seminary, we went to the Protestant seminary. And I looked, and they were all wearing robes and very theatrical. I said, this is all, it's all theater. It's all theater. See, the priest, when he says Mass, it's not to entertain. It's to say the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And again, this is very important that if you haven't been to a Latin Mass or haven't been to a Byzantine Rite, the Divine Liturgy, go. It's not about the person. It's about the office. And we have to get back to focusing on the holy sacrifice of the Mass rather than being entertained. So Jesus says this very, very clearly. The priestly authority. Volume 3, 11, 10, 99. My love of Jesus, when have you ever opposed obedience? I am not the one who wants to be released. It is the confessor that wants you, Jesus, to make me, Luisa, suffer the crucifixion. See, the priest, a lot of times people will say to me, this is what I'm going through, and I go, good. And they go, what do you mean, good? This is painful. No, God is working. God needs us to cooperate. That doesn't mean we look for suffering. But if you're suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, God is going to use that to save your family. He's going to use that to save your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. He's going to use that to save someone that you've never met before. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see our fiat in our sufferings has brought someone to heaven. And they're going to come running up to us, thanking us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You helped me get to heaven. And then we're going to be running up to people, thanking them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You, through your suffering, helped me get to heaven. See, nobody gets there alone. We're all in this together. And the fiat is so important to Jesus. The fiat is so essential that when we really say fiat to God, in all that we're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, what happens at that point, we're bringing our brothers, bringing our sisters, bringing our friends that we'll have for all eternity that we don't know yet into heaven. Jesus says very clearly, therefore, surrender to this virtue, so favored by you, which bejewels you, your whole life, which formed the last link by connecting everything into one, the sacrifice of the cross. Again, we have to understand our journey is to Calvary. That's where we're going. When you're on your deathbed, you're going to have to give up your heartbeat. You're going to have to give up your breath. you won't be able to pray at that point. You'll be at that point of not being able to pray. So we pray now. We say to God right now, let it be done to me as you wish, as you will. Let me enter into this life. And so Jesus is asking us to begin to live a life that the saints are now possessing in heaven. It's very, very important, the silence and the willingness to climb to Calvary. And Jesus says, you really want to use violence on me, touching that link which connects the divinity and humanity and forming one single link, which is obedience. And while saying this, Jesus assumed the appearance of the crucified, and almost forced by the priestly authority, he shared with me the pains of the crucifixion. See, the priest has to be crucified. And this is why we wear black. The priest wears black because he's the victim. When you receive the Holy Eucharist under both forms, we have to remember in Italy, in Rome, you don't receive under both forms. So you have it in the United States, you have it in Canada, you have it in Australia, under both forms. But when the angel appeared to the children at Fatima, he gave the host to Lucy, who lived to be 97. He gave the chalice to Jacinta and Francesco, because it's a chalice of suffering. And if you're receiving the chalice, you have to understand this is what you're saying to Jesus. I want to suffer. And the Jacinta and Francesco lasted, what, a year, 2 years? It's the priest is the victim. The priest drinks from the chalice. It's, again, the bishops have said this is what the laity wants. And so if you're receiving from the chalice, know what you're saying to Jesus. The priest must drink from the chalice. He is the victim. But the laity are really not called to that. Again, it's, when you go to the Vatican, you don't receive under both forms. It's something that's happened in the States, and I guess it started with one parish for one weekend, and it spread through the entire United States and Canada. Again, so it's not that it's bad, because when you receive the host, you receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. It's what you have to understand. Everything that the priest does at the Mass is it's deliberate. For example, when the Paten, if you're doing the Latin Mass, if you take the Paten, when you offer up the host, and then you put the host, you move the Paten down, and the host goes on the corporal. Then you take the Paten and you put it under the corporal halfway. The Paten represents the Jews, and the host is not on the Paten again until the Our Father. Once the Our Father is prayed, the Paten is held sideways. And what happens at that point is then it says the Jews will recognize Jesus. And then what happens after that? Then the host is under, the Paten is under the host at that point. Which means the Jews will one day accept Jesus. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. So everything is deliberate. I'll send to you, and then maybe next week through the internet, I'll send to you what each step of the Mass is about and how you follow Jesus through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Some people keep they have it in their missal, and as the priest goes through the Mass, they read what's happening with Jesus, and it's very, very powerful. And anyways, it's a great, great blessing. So he says very clearly, almost by force of the priestly authority, he shared with me the pains of the crucifixion. May the Lord be always blessed, and may everything be for God's glory. Volume 3, 11, 1799. This morning, our Queen Mama Mary came together with Jesus And it seemed to me that she was bringing Jesus to me so that I could placate Jesus and pray to Jesus together with the Blessed Mother, and Jesus would make me suffer to spare the people. Again, what Luisa did was, she said, I will suffer a martyrdom, a crucifixion for every soul so that they can enter into the kingdom. Well, in a way, it's similar with us. Many of our family members are away from Christ and His church. Many are living alternative lifestyles, which are horrible. It's not to condemn them, but to bring them back. So the sufferings that we go through are to not only bring our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, but when we do our prevenient act in the morning, it's in the name of everybody and everything, past, present, and future. We want to bring all of Jesus' children into the kingdom. So Jesus is asking us to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach, to say, Lord, use this gift that you're giving to me, the gift of the divine will. Let me pray in their name so that you, Jesus, hear everyone, past, present, and future, praying with my voice. And then as you pray, and see, this goes back to this, I want to pray for those souls that do not know Jesus, that are far from Jesus, that are living right on the edge of the abyss into going into hell, and saying, Jesus, I want to pray in their name. They can't at this point. But I want to do this. As Luisa, Jesus says, as Luisa, I lost my place. As Luisa prayed for suffering to spare the people, we want everyone to be spared. And Jesus says, let's look with Peter. When Peter said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And he walked on the water. That's impossible. It's impossible for a human to do that. But when Jesus commands it, everything is possible. And see, we have to say to Jesus, to all our brothers and sisters who are far from God, all our family and friends who are far from God, all people from Adam to the last man who may be very far from God, that we stand in the breach for them, praying for them. Because that's what Jesus did on Calvary. That's what the Blessed Mother did on Calvary. That's what they taught Luisa to do. And again, it's happening. And she, Our Lady told me that if in these past days I had not placed myself in between, this is in the breach, and if the confessor had not made use of his priestly authority in concurring with his intentions to make me suffer, many catastrophes would have occurred. In the meantime, I saw the confessor, and immediately I prayed for him to Jesus and to the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. And Jesus, all benignity, said to me, according to the measure in which he shall take care of my interest by praying to me, and also by committing himself to renewing his intention to make you suffer, Luisa, in order to spare the people, so shall I care of him and shall spare him. And he says, I would be ready to make this pact with him. So again, what's happening here is Luisa is helping the priest get closer to Jesus. So yeah, that's why this past week at the orphanage of St. Anthony, with the beautiful statue of St. Honorable de Francia, the relics of St. Honorable de Francia there, the church said, Luisa is the spiritual mother of priests. So we pray. Again, there's nothing to worry about. We pray with total confidence, total trust, that Jesus bring the priests back. And this is what he said he's going to do. He's going to renew the priesthood. Volume 7, 10, 20, 1906. Therefore, pray for priests. Look at that. Pray for priests that they may be light for the peoples, so that as this light arises again, see, it's gone, the secular may acquire divine life and may see the errors that they commit. And by seeing them, they shall feel disgusted to commit these grave excesses, which shall be the cause of great chastisements. So Jesus says he's going to renew the priesthood. He says, but it's our job to pray for priests. Don't crucify them. They're crucified enough by people. Don't scourge them. They're scourged enough by people. It's our job to be like the Blessed Mother, to be silent in prayer for the crucified, for Christ crucified. Volume 3. Now, while they were discussing, I heard Jesus behind my shoulder saying, all other societies know who belongs to their party. Only my church does not know who her children are. The first step is to know those who those are who belong to the church. And these you can know by establishing a reunion one day, to which you, Luisa, shall invite them, so that who is Catholic should convene to the appointed place for this reunion. And there, he says, with the help of the lay Catholics, they should decide what is advisable to do. The second step is to oblige to confession those Catholics who convene, which in the most important thing that renews man and forms true Catholics. And this not only for those who are present, but they should oblige the leaders to oblige their subjects to confession. And if they do not succeed with gentle manners, they should dismiss them from their service. Once each priest has formed the body of his Catholics, then shall they be able to advance to superior steps. In fact, recognizing the opportunity of the moment, the way to penetrate into other parties, the prudence in exposing themselves is like the pruning of trees, which makes them produce large, mature fruits. But if the true tree is not pruned, it does make, yes, a beautiful display of leaves and flowers, but as soon as a frost comes or a wind blows, since the tree does not have enough sap strength to sustain so many flowers in order to change them into fruits, the flowers fall off and the tree remains stripped. The same thing happens in the things of religion. First, you must form a suitable body of Catholics so as to be able to confront the other parties, and then you can come to penetrating into the other parties to form one single party. So what Jesus is talking about here is, and again, it's Luisa who's forming this. Your prayer group, it becomes, like you remember what Venerable Fulton J. Sheen said. He said, the heart of the church is the souls that pray the rosary. The soul of the church are those who go to daily mass. So now Jesus is saying to us, I want more than the heart and the soul. I want a community. And that's the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Even if it's only a few, you have to understand, Jesus says, I'm there where two or three are gathered. The little children of the Holy Divine Will are going to be used by Jesus to begin to live a Catholic life that has been forgotten. A Catholic life that is foreign. Again, this is why I really honestly believe Jesus is asking us to keep holy the Sabbath. That this is the Lord's Day. It's not another Saturday. It's not another sports day. It's the Lord's Day. And during this Lent, to focus on the Echo Book is very, very important. To focus on the prayers that Jesus and Mary taught Luisa. As you enter into this, Jesus himself is going to change you. How? Jesus is the Word, and when we echo that Word that Jesus is praying in our praying, he's actually transforming us. He's actually beginning to bring about a new beginning for his church. And as you know, right now, the Catholic life is very far from most people. People don't understand, like Humanae Vitae, they don't even understand that contraception, artificial means of birth control, is mortal sin. They don't understand that. It's been so hidden. Abortion isn't just something to do. It's a sacrifice to Moloch. It's what the Canaanites did. The baby parts that are in food, the baby parts that are in the cosmetics, this is what the Canaanites did. They cover themselves with blood of the babies. They wash themselves, saying to Moloch, "You are my God." That's Satan. How many people are covering their faces with abortifacts, abortion, ground-up babies? It's in everything. Pepsi-Cola just said that they're not going to do that anymore. You were drinking, and Jesus says that to Louisa. He says the people will be forced to cannibalize. Forced to cannibalize. And if you go through, you know, the food enhancement, it's ground-up babies from abortions. We're no different than the Canaanites. We're no different than the pagans. It's being forced upon us. We have to begin to understand that we have to separate ourselves from that. You know, that this is what we do on Sunday. Well, you know, we separate ourselves from the pagan society that we're living in. Remember the blue laws. It was a time when you didn't shop on Sundays. Poland just said no more shopping on Sunday. This is amazing. This is beautiful. No more shopping on Sunday. No more entertaining ourselves on Sunday. No more sports on Sunday. No more dinners in fancy restaurants on Sundays. Well, I'm not cooking. Well, you're making somebody else cook. You're making somebody else work. It's to keep holy the Sabbath. This is where we start as Catholics. Keep holy the Sabbath. Then, when you pray your rosary, then when you wear your scapular, you're beginning to live a life that Jesus and Mary lived. They were faithful to the Torah. They were faithful to the temple. They were faithful Jews. And again, Jesus is asking us to be faithful Catholics. He really is. He's asking us to enter into this, as he says here, this reunion, this beginning of the Catholic faith again. You know, if you don't know what the Catholic faith is about, and again, there's catechisms out there, use the simple one. Use the Baltimore Catechism. It's not forbidden, but you begin to understand the simplicity of our faith, the beauty of our faith. And it's to enter into this Catholic life, not to be separated from it. You only love what you know. If you don't know the faith, you know, like I said, use the Baltimore Catechism. Step by step, go back to what you were taught as a child. Go back to begin to understand the beauty of this life. The Catholic life is the best. The Catholic life, it's everything. And for Jesus to allow us to be baptized Catholics is the greatest gift. Because Jesus says, I'm going to crown my church with this gift of the divine will. If you're not Catholic, you can't be crowned. This is for Catholics. This is for those who want the universal life, the life that Adam had before the fall. It's to enter into paradise. It's to enter into the Garden of Eden. It's to enter into heaven. This is how Catholics live. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. Volume 4, 11:17-02. And I, Lord, shall you not make me come around yourself if you make me fall? And the voice, no, it is a decree of my divine will to use the work of a priest to make you come around from that state of suffering. Again, here she's paralyzed, solid as a rock. No one can move her. He says, and if they want to know why, to let them come to me and ask me. So Jesus says, if the priest has to know why, have him come to me and I'll tell him why. See, it's we're obedient to Christ. We're obedient to his church. My wisdom is incomprehensible and has many unusual ways for the salvation of souls. But even though it is incomprehensible, if they want to find the reason, let them go deep, for they shall find it bright like the sun. See, that this is what's going to happen. The new day is coming. Our Lady says, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the new Jerusalem. Well, this only can happen with the new man. Okay? It's we can't enter into this life without becoming new as well. Everything's going to enter into this new abundant life. This is the gift of the divine will. How do we enter into this light? Okay, Jesus says, well, it was really St. Padre Pio said, Luisa is a new sun that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. That's St. Padre Pio. So when you see the sun setting in the west, a new sun comes up in the east, there is no more darkness. God is going to take us out of the darkness. And he's using Luisa, and this is what the Vatican came out. There's a book over there, the green book to the left. It says, the son of my divine will is Luisa Picaretta. That's by the Vatican. This is the only book that has been published by the Vatican of a person who is not beatified and who is not canonized. They have never done this before. The people who have read this book, read the 36 volumes, know that something great is coming. And they're so anxious. I remember being in Corrado with the Archbishop and the Cardinal, and the Cardinal basically pointed to the Archbishop and says, we want these books out. And the Archbishop just nodded sheepishly. And they're still not out. That was in 2005. See, these books are going to transform the face of the earth. I remember being in the Sacred Archives of the Vatican, copying these books back in 96. I was so happy because that's one of the things I read, the few things that we had, was these books will transform the face of the earth. As we read them, as we study them, everything within us is being transmuted. Everything in us. Why? As Jesus says, we're entering into the sun. We're entering into this light. It's not a halo. It's not a nimbus of the saints. It's Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. It's Jesus on Mount Tabor. His clothes are more radiant than the sun. This is Luisa. This is what Jesus and Mary have given to the newborn, Luisa Picaretta. The firstborn in the divine will, Luisa Picaretta. As we enter into this gift, everything changes for us. Everything changes for us. And this is what God is asking. He says, you want to find a reason? Go deep. Go deep into what? Go deep into the book of heaven. Study it. Read it. And he says, and you will find bright as the sun there. Volume 4, 12:4-02. After this, Jesus stood up with empire, but so much that I, Luisa, became fearful. Now, see, when Jesus comes as king, we're going to be terrified. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our all. And we're going to see him with empire. We're going to see him not as the newborn baby that came to us in Bethlehem, not as Christ crucified, but as king. She says, I became fearful. And then he said, what is the meaning of show yourself to the priest? And then becoming sweeter, he added, my divine power extends everywhere from any place. I, God, could operate the most sensational miracles in. Yet, in all my miracles, I, God, wanted to be personally present. This happens at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's a time of miracles. The priest holds, say but the word. What is the word? It's fiat. And I will be healed. More than that, I will share in divinity. I will be divinized. Say but the word, and I will be divinized. You see, it's God is asking us to be fused with Him, to be fused with God. It doesn't mean we become God, but we share in His divinity. What the priest does when he puts a drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is what's happening. The most sensational miracles are going to happen. Jesus says this, when the divine will reigns, watch the miracles that will occur during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Watch what I am going to do. He says very clearly, He says, I am personally present. After the Mass today, Father and I will be anointing. And I'll just say, His line should be longer than my line because God's given him some great blessings. So we're going to pray for everybody. We're not only just praying for ourselves. We're praying for our friends, our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners. But we're praying for everyone, past, present, and future. We want everyone to experience this healing. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. We all need to be healed. Jesus says very clearly, I'm going to operate with the most sensational miracles because in almost all of my miracles, I want to be personally present. It's a time to believe in Him and trust in Him and hope in Him and have confidence in Him. It's very, very important. As for example, when I resurrected Lazarus, I went there. I had them remove the sepulchral stone, and then I had him released, and then with an empire of my voice, I called Lazarus back to life. In resurrecting the young girl, I took her by the hand with my right hand, and I called her back to life. And many other things which are recorded in the gospel, in which are known to all. I, God, Jesus Christ, wanted to be there with my presence. This teaches the way in which the priest must behave in his operating. See, it's this, when the priest blesses, it's Jesus that's blessing. When the priest speaks, it's especially in the homily, it's Jesus that is teaching. This is the way in which the priest must behave and is operating, since the future life of the church was enclosed in mine. And these are the things which pertain to you, though in general, but your specific circumstance, that they might find on Calvary. I, priest and victim, lifted up in the wood of the cross, wanted a priest to be present, to assist me in the state of victim. And this was St. John, who represented the nascent church. And I saw... In him I saw everyone. I saw the popes, the bishops, the priests, and all the faithful together. And while assisting me, he offered me as victim for the glory of the Father and for the good outgrowth of the nascent church. In fact, that a priest assisted me in that state of victim did not happen by chance, but everything was a profound mystery, predisposed from ab eterno, from eternity. And in the divine mind, intending that when I choose a soul as victim for the grave needs present in the church, a priest must offer her to me, assist her for me, help her and encourage her to suffer. See, this is Luisa and all of us. We are one, we are linked to Luisa. And it's each and every one of us are suffering spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Each and every one of us, to a greater or lesser degree than the person next to us. It's to help, see, the priest helps and encourages the soul to suffer. If these things are understood, fine. They themselves shall receive the fruits of the work they offer. Just like St. John, how many goods did he not receive for having assisted me on Mount Calvary? If then they are not understood, they do nothing but put my work amid continuous contrast, diverting my most beautiful designs. So that's basically where the priesthood is at this point. Jesus is going to renew the priesthood. He says this. And he begins with the priests now. He begins with the laity now. So when you go to Holy Mass, okay, again, for the 15 minutes after Holy Mass, to adore him and to love him, to praise him, to thank him, to bless him, to worship him, it doesn't matter if everybody's laughing and, you know, screaming and having a great time fellowshipping after Holy Mass. Our job is to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. We allow him to enter the Holy of Holies of our soul. And we begin, as Jesus is saying, to understand what he is doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You don't have to turn around and give them the evil eye. It's to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God. It's to begin to understand. This is what Jesus is asking of us. In addition to this, my wisdom is infinite. And when it sends some crosses across to a soul for her sanctification, it does not take that soul alone, but 5, 10, as many as I please, so that no one, not one alone, but all others together may be sanctified in our sufferings. See, what's happening, you know your family. You know your friends. You know your neighbors. You know your co-workers. It's not to condemn them. But Jesus is saying, I want them to be sanctified. They are far from me. You stand in the breach for them with confidence. Even though you might not ever see it in this life, you trust Jesus completely. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Even if they spit in your face, so be it. Jesus is saying, with you, they will be sanctified. First with Luisa. We link ourselves to Luisa. In fact, on Calvary, I was not alone. In addition to having a priest, I had a mother, I had friends and also enemies. And in seeing the prodigy of my patience, many of them believed in me as the God I was and were converted. Had I been alone, they would have received these. Would they have received these great goods? Certainly not. So Jesus is calling us to be with him. Jesus is asking us to be with him on Golgotha. And this is why the hours of the Passion are so essential for us. It's so essential that we go over these hours of the Passion, that we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Again, the gift of bivocation is one of the main gifts that Jesus gives with this gift of the divine will. And it's not that we go where we want to go. It's we go to Calvary to be with Jesus. And what we see is not a piety. It's an actuality that occurs. These are not pious thoughts. You could go to Bethlehem and to be with Jesus and Mary and Louisa, who's already there. You can be at Capernaum. When you go through the holy mysteries of the Blessed Mother, when you go through all of those 20 mysteries, you can be with Jesus, looking at Jesus with the loving eyes of the Blessed Mother, looking at Jesus with the loving eyes of little Louisa. See, there's no time or space in the divine will. God will take you there. This is what's so beautiful. This is, again, if you say, well, this isn't going to happen, God says, that's right, it cannot happen. Because you've already said no. See, God looks for fiat. He looks for the fiat. And when we say, Lord, let it be done as you say, God says, good, then let me take you where I want to bring you. That's what he did with Louisa all the time. We when you go to Corrado and you look at her socks that are laid out in her room, they're dirty and they're ripped and there are holes in them. And I remember the first time I looked at that, I went, they could have bought her some nice socks. She didn't go anywhere. But Jesus took her and he took her all over the universe. And to prove it, her socks were had holes in them, were dirty. He took her all over the universe. And what we saw, what they saw, was her in bed. See, there's a reality that Jesus wants to bring us to that's not seen with human eyes. There's a truth that God wants us to know that's not known with a human intellect. See, we've got to begin to surrender our intellect, our memory, in order to live in the divine will. Our intellect is to begin to see things not from our limited, corrupt understanding, but from Jesus' understanding, from Jesus' point of view. That's the divine will. That's why he gave us the book of heaven, to read, to study, and put this into practice. The second is the memory, not of what they said to me and they did to me. It's what did Jesus do at Golgotha? What did Jesus do at Capernaum? What did Jesus do in Nazareth? To be with him, to learn the life of Jesus and Mary. And then finally, the third thing is to surrender our human will. Lord, I don't want to live. And that's, again, the six steps. This is what we do every holy sacrifice of the Mass after we receive Jesus. The six steps. I don't want any part of my human will. And finally, the sixth step is to begin to receive the divine qualities as much as a human being can possibly embrace. This is, everything's going to change for us. And Jesus says, I'm going to crown my children in the divine will with this gift. But we have to begin now to live it, little by little, step by step. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.